Good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder, and this is BRN AM for Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. And here are our top stories. Ways to protect your identity and your data this holiday season. And seniors make it through the pandemic with a little tech and a lot of experience. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more is Daniel Klein. He's lead advisor and executive producer for 7 Investing. Dan, thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Oh, no problem. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy 4th of July. I have no idea. It's one or some of those.
Well, you know, it all kind of runs together, but it is right the week before Thanksgiving, or the week. It is a couple days before Thanksgiving, Dan. And that means Black Friday sales. And I couldn't think of a better person to speak with in regards to protecting your data from scams, because Dan, a lot of people are going to be shopping online. We're not going to be really going to a lot of stores, at least in the next couple of days.
Yeah, you have to be careful. And being careful isn't just wearing a mask. Being careful isn't just all the health precautions you have to take. There's also a lot of precautions you need to take with your money. And some of them are really basic, like don't enter your credit card information on a website you've never heard of. If it's something really small and you think it's credible, maybe go out and get, you know, or order on Amazon a prepaid Visa card and use that to pay. I know that sounds like an extra step, or at least do your homework. Find, is this a real site? Is this something I can trust? I tend to confine my business to the big sites, to Amazon, to eBay, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods, companies you know are real companies. The other thing you want to be really wary of is, let's say you get an email. I know that if I use an old credit card that's out of date to pay for something on Amazon, Amazon sends you an email saying, hey, can you update your payment information? This one didn't go through. You want to be really careful that that's actually from Amazon. You want to check the send address, and you probably don't want to follow the email. You probably want to go to Amazon.com, log into your orders, find that order. There are a lot of really clever scams out there. Same thing with any email from your bank. Don't go through the email. Go to the bank's website. Anything that's wrong will be there. And if you have to, pick up the phone and ask the question. You want to be very, very skeptical. You also want to be very protective of your data. It is really easy to think you're on Amazon and you're actually on Slamazon or some other, you know, spoofed site, and all of a sudden you've given your credit card info. The other thing you really want to do, and this is very important, is you should this time of year be regularly checking your credit card bills, your debit card, whatever it is you use to pay for things. I know that just once or twice a week, because I go in and I pay my credit cards as I use them, I'll just look and I'll go, hey, what's that $60 charge? And sometimes you look and you don't recognize the name and it's someone you've done business with, but their business name isn't what you think it is, and that's fine. But it's always a smart idea to check, because every now and then, you know, look, you're at a restaurant and you put a $13 tip and they put it in as a $130 tip. Like, you know, that can happen, especially for those of us with really bad handwriting. So you want to be really, really careful and really, really vigilant.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. And I just want to underscore this again, Dan, the spoofing of emails. And I get it all the time. I'm sure you do. Many do, where it looks like an official email from that company, but they're asking you to confirm some information, enter your password. And really, it's a quick check, Dan. You go up, as you said, you scroll up to the top, you look at the toolbox, and if you can, click on it to see what that address is. And you can determine whether or not it says, for example, at Chase, at Amazon.com, right?
Yeah, and legitimate companies never ask for your password, credit card information, social security number, whatever it is, via an email. It's always, they might send you an email alerting you to the problem, and then they're going to bring you to their site. So if you don't click that link and you instead just go to the site, you'll find out very, very quickly whether it's real or not. And you want to be skeptical. If you know you've had 100 orders in a row with Amazon with no problems, why would there be an issue with this one? You want to take that healthy dose of skepticism. And even so, let's say in a very safe way, you're buying locally. Maybe you're going, we have distance, you know, holiday craft fairs here. And it's probably not something I would do this year, but let's pretend you're going to go do that. Pay at the person that has a Square reader, not the person who's, you know, writing down your credit card number. You want to be really, really careful. It's very, very simple for any merchant to set up Square. It's a $25 process. So if they don't do that, you should be skeptical of not necessarily their motives, but their ability to protect your information. They're probably not going to go, you buy your little Christmas tree ornament. They're not going to steal your credit card, but they might be lazy about how they store your credit card, making it possible for someone else. I am generally not a particularly wary person. I tend to be trusting, but you don't want to make it easy. And certainly, if you didn't play the lottery, you didn't win the lottery. Nobody needs your bank account information to give you money. If you get a gift card from someone who doesn't normally give you a gift, you don't have to ever put in your information to redeem a gift card. And it's okay if it looks like, your friend sent you a Starbucks gift card. You can call them up and be like, hey, just wanted to be sure. Like, it says I got a Starbucks gift card from you. And they go, I didn't send you a Starbucks gift card. Well, that's probably a scam. So you want to be really careful. And again, there are some bad actors out there, and most of it is just common sense. I know that I make all of my online purchases with one credit card. It is easier to track that way, with the exception of Amazon, because Amazon is tied to my Amazon credit card, and the only thing I use that for is Amazon. So it is really easy to go, okay, did I buy these things? And are these charges correct? You want to check often and, trust but verify.
Absolutely. I think that makes a lot of sense. Trust but verify, key word here, Dan. The other thing I want to mention is we're talking a lot about money and banking, but let's not forget the personal information that can be used to enter an account. For example, your name, forgetting Social Security number, your date of birth, your address, all of these pieces of data can be used to confirm your identity on your 401k plan provider, your bank account, your Amazon account. All these things could be used against you. So I think, Dan, you probably also want to be careful where you put this data and make sure that you're vigilant with it.
Yeah, your name and address is not that hard for anyone to get, but you want to be very vigilant with your Social Security number. Your Social Security number unlocks all sorts of doors in terms of people being able to steal your accounts. I know we've talked about this before. We had our Netflix account stolen. And we could still get in, but someone else was using it. And we noticed because our preferences, like the shows we liked, started changing to shows we weren't watching. And then I went, to change my password and realized I was no longer the owner of my account. So what was someone doing? They were stealing $14.99 a month from Netflix. Wasn't that big a deal. But it was pretty easy to fix because I had all my personal information. All that person had done had figured out my password and used it to go in and change some stuff. They didn't have my Social Security number. They didn't have the things you could use to sort of go to a company and prove you're you. That's not always easy. So your Social Security number, you should guard as if it's cash.
And last question, Dan. Many of us download apps through the app stores, whether it's the Google App Store or the Apple App Store. Those organizations also are working hard, I would assume, to protect us, users from erroneous apps, apps that are phishing, apps that are taking data, monetizing it without telling you.
Yeah, I'd say Apple is almost 100% perfect. The procedure to get into the Apple App Store is pretty vigilant. It's also fairly expensive. You have to have an Apple developer's account, which is not, it's not free.
It's $100. It's $100.
And so that's a bit of a bar, but they are looking and scrutinizing everything in your app. So it is very difficult. I'm not saying there's never been something scammy. Obviously, there must be. But for the most part, the other thing you want to do is wherever you're downloading something, look at reviews. Look and see if other people like it. And if they generally don't, or they say, oh, hey, this free app is really just an ad for a paid app. Like in the App Store, they tell you in the iTunes Store, in the Apple Store, they tell you, okay, this app has in-app charges, or you can only use basic functionality. It's not that hard to figure out. So it's one, yeah, you want to be vigilant. But for the most part, if you're going through Google Play, if you're going through the Apple App Store, you're probably okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dan, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about seniors using a little tech and a lot of experience. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings in retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Hi folks, Joe Namath here, and if you're on Medicare, this is important. You're now entitled to eliminate copays and get dental care, dentures, eyeglasses, prescription coverage, in-home aids, unlimited transportation, and home-delivered meals, all at no additional cost. Plus, your zip code may have coverage with the Give Back benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. Look, with the uncertainty of the virus and vaccines, you need to get everything you're entitled to. Here's the bottom line. Call to get significant benefits at no additional cost and see if your zip code has coverage with the Give Back benefit. Millions of people have trusted the Medicare Coverage Helpline. You can too. Call now. It's free.
Call 1-800-924-3920. That's 1-800-924-3920.
Welcome back. We're talking to Daniel Klein of Seven Investing. Dan, thanks so much for staying with us this morning.
Thanks for keeping me.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to the Thanksgiving holiday, although some of us may be remaining at home. A lot of us will be remaining at home as travel is down, unfortunately, due to the COVID pandemic. But Dan, this previous week, we talked about technology and home care. And based on what I've been reading, and I know you've been reading as well, seniors are getting by with a little tech, but a lot of experience. What can you tell us here?
Yeah, it's a tricky holiday season. I mean, Jeff, I would normally, not necessarily see my mother because she lives in Massachusetts and I live in Florida, but I would see my Florida family, which consists of, you know, some elderly aunts and uncles and two cancer survivor cousins who are a little bit older than me. None of us can see each other right now. I mean, you know, right? I basically am the healthiest person of the group, so we're not getting together, you know, even in the ways you could, even with an outdoor small gathering. We're not doing that because a lot of people are compromised. So those older folks have been spending most of their time inside, or at best, you know, taking a walk outside their complex. Most of them, and I'll start with my mother, have learned technology. Now, my mother's 70. She used an iPad before this. She could text message, but she had to learn how to Zoom. Her tap dancing class meets on Zoom now. So a lot of people sort of vaulted ahead, and seniors have actually found more happiness, I know this sounds strange, than younger people, because in some cases they live in multi-generational households where either the kids came home or grandkids are there, so they're helping with school. In some cases, because people are home, they're able to communicate more. But it's something we really want to think about. You know, are there people in your world who are really isolated, that can't even go out safely to go to the grocery store, that had a social network? You know, maybe they live in a senior facility and they had meals and social events and they can't have any of those things now. A lot of those facilities are basically closed rooms where you're not. So if the older people in your family are embracing a little bit of technology, work with them and move towards what they're doing. And that might mean, look, that might mean some uncomfortable exchanges. I've joked about this before, but my grandmother on my father's side, who's no longer with us, could send an email but didn't know how to reply to an email. So every answer was a new email. You might have to put up with that. I have some aunts and uncles that don't understand the group text, so that doesn't always work well. They'll make a comment about someone not realizing they're in that text. But you want to embrace what we have right now. And remember that, as bad as it is, we have time on our hands. We have the ability to connect. And, you know, and it might be, you know, really silly things like you're watching whatever the Macy's parade looks like this year. And you put your relative who you would normally be watching that while you're cooking the turkey, you put them on a speakerphone mm-hmm. and you talk to them. It's really important to embrace, you know, some level of human connection outside your walls. Cause, you know, chances are anyone you live with, you're probably a little tired of right now. So, you know, it is time, you know, it is likely time to make sure the extended people in your world, and that's not just family, you know, think about that, you know, that lonely friend that doesn't have a lot of family as well.
Yeah. I think you bring up a really good point, which is the mental aspect of this, the depression. And look, normally during holiday times, you can see depression kind of go up for people. Maybe they've lost a loved one or someone's a far distance away. I think that is even more exacerbated this time of the year. So you're right. Being able to connect with people, even if you can't connect with them one-on-one, because many of us will not be going to Thanksgiving dinners. We will not be having, or we don't know what's going to happen around Christmas and Hanukkah and some of the other holidays. But that is something that interconnectivity, I think, is really important. And just letting people know you care about them and just reaching out, that's exceedingly meaningful.
Yeah, and it can be difficult because, look, I know, Jeff, you and I spend my whole day on Skype and Zoom and other platforms. And frankly, the last thing I want to do at night or on the weekend is a phone call or a Zoom or whatever. And I've had to make myself do it. On Sunday, I'm having coffee with a colleague from where I used to work just because it's important to catch up. And she's actually going to be isolating for 2 weeks because she has a CFA test coming up. So she can't get sick because if she's sick, she can't take this test she's worked on for a year. So we're going to make a point of, you know, connecting a little bit. And, you know, that's a younger person. She hasn't been isolated up to this position, but whoever it is, you've got to make sure you reach out. You also need to make sure they have the technology or the wherewithal to get in touch. And, you know, look, that might mean sending a phone to someone in the family that doesn't have a phone, like, you know, or doesn't, you know, have the ability to communicate that way. It's a tough time. So you really should take inventory and be thoughtful, because as bad as things are, at least you have people. So remember who those people are and do as much as you can for them.
Last question, Dan. We've got about a minute left. It just came to me as we were chatting. You know, the other area where seniors could be taking advantage of tech is things like DoorDash and delivery. And I'm just wondering if you think that, you know, many people are not going to visit family for Thanksgiving. Yes, they may go out and cook, but I'm wondering if there might be an increase in the DoorDashes and the Grubhubs of the world, the Uber Eats, those deliveries to come to us and say, you know what, I'm not going to cook. I'm going to go order out and order a Thanksgiving dinner in.
Yeah, absolutely. And people who never would have learned how to use DoorDash or Grubhub or Instacart or Walmart grocery delivery, they've picked that up and they've used it. And look, in some cases, if you're doing okay, surprise an older relative who maybe doesn't know how to use that technology by sending them takeout. For Thanksgiving, maybe let them know, hey, I'm taking care of your Thanksgiving meal, and send them, you know, from the many, many restaurants that are doing, you know, Thanksgiving dinners. I know that, you know, we've had some relatives that we've done some grocery orders for to keep them out of stores. It's really, think about, can you teach them that technology? And if you can't, can you help them in ways, you know, look, I sent my mother on Mother's Day dinner through Grubhub or DoorDash or one of those. And, you know, it wasn't particularly tricky to do, with the exception that I don't really know the restaurants where she lives all that well. So I was guessing a little bit. But that said, be thoughtful. And, you know, you'll find, if you're scared of technology, if you can Google, how do I do this? There's going to be videos you can watch that show you how to do it. Like, you know, in general, YouTube has an answer for everything. So you can find, look, it's not hard to order from Grubhub or DoorDash or Uber Eats. These are things even people who aren't very technical can figure out pretty easily.
Yeah, and just make sure that your neighbor doesn't take your food. Dan, always a pleasure talking with you. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again on the podcast later this week.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Dan. Great to see you. Thanks for sharing your perspective, and have a great Thanksgiving holiday. And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or someone you think we should talk to? Then drop us a line. And don't forget, all the news in retirement, markets, technology, personal finance, so much more. Check out our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. So until tomorrow, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes. Waiting here for you to take and drink of.
Are you being audited? And do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.